Welcome to The Buyer's Desk, your weekly resource for all things natural food retail. Each month starts with a deep dive into SPINS data, spotlighting growth trends and key industry insights. Then I'll bring you conversations with industry leaders and highlight brands making waves in the natural channel. We'll wrap up each month with actionable strategies, collaborative discussions, and tactical tips to help you thrive. This season is packed with fresh perspectives, big ideas, and everything you need to stay informed in natural food retail. Welcome back to the Buyer's Desk. It's Angela here today, and I am, as always, very thrilled with my guest for this week's episode. It is my absolute pleasure to introduce Jim Higdon. He is the co-founder and chief communications officer, as well as Andrea McGrath, who is the director of education and natural. Jim and Andrea are both joining me from a phenomenal infra partner, Cornbread Hemp. And they were willing to just do this interview with me today with no pre-planned questions. Very exciting to riff with you guys. Thank you so much for being here. Let's kick this off with a challenging one. How are you doing today?
Hey, Angela. Thanks for having us. I have a lot of new energy being here with the two of you. Like, I jumped in here and like all of a sudden you guys are bouncing around. And so I'm going to have to be on my toes and bounce around with you. But it's, you know, like it started this morning, it was winter and now it's summertime because it's Kentucky in the spring and we can't figure out where we're at. And so it's a summer afternoon after a winter morning. So it's great.
Absolutely. Always a good time with infra. Excited to be here and hang out with y'all.
All right. So we're talking THC during the month of April because, you know, all of us in the back of our mind are telling ourselves 420 jokes. I really wanted to start this podcast, though, to tell you guys how impressed I am by the Learn tab on cornbreadhemp.com. I sincerely was like, I'm going to kick this off. I'm going to ask them a couple of interesting questions about the differences between these things. And then I went on your website and I was like, oh my gosh, every single question I would have, as well as very clear answers. Andrea, this is not even just stroking your ego, knowing that you're the director of education. I really want all of our listeners to know that the Learn tab on cornbreadhemp.com is absolutely phenomenal.
I mean, you know, first of all, thank you. I think that's the first time, Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong, that the Learn tab on the website's gotten that kind of a shout out before. Like we've invested in it from the beginning. Like my background is in journalism. I'm a writer by trade, and education, consumer, customer education has been the key part of this whole operation since we started. And we've just been building on it for 7 years and finally got Andrea in a place where she can devote a large part of her time to education, and we've built on a strong foundation and continues to go in the right direction.
Tell me why the Learn tab is so important, particularly right now.
We encounter customers at every stage of their journey with cannabinoid products. We get people who are, you know, very high tolerance, very experienced users who want to lean into us to talk about ratios and terpenes and like very sophisticated questions on how it affects them personally and know how to dive into the science. And then we get people who are just starting out or like, I'm thinking about buying some cannabinoid products for my elderly mother. I don't know what I'm buying. What is CBD? And we have to take every customer at where they're at in this process and get them up to speed. And the best way to do that is with content so that they can guide their own, you know, their own journey through, you know, the sea of information. It can be really overwhelming and complicated and confusing. So we're able to, you know, like we've been working on presenting that to them at sort of beginning, intermediate, and expert levels of understanding so that people can encounter and get the information they're looking for at the stage of knowledge that they're at in the process.
That's perfect, Jim. I really couldn't have put it better myself.
I like that so much because here is an area, okay, the way that I see it, and please feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, much of the natural grocery industry was really built on CBD. Like for a long time in our history, the only place you could go and reliably get CBD, as well as potentially someone in that wellness aisle to talk to you about it, was your local natural grocery store. And at the point at which CBD became ubiquitous, and then we had that, however you want to describe it, 2018 farm bill that drew less of a distinction between what we would, what I would quantify as hemp versus marijuana, then we saw this explosion in the marketplace of products, as well as an explosion in the marketplace of complexity. Tell me a little bit, and I know this is a really big question, but tell me a little bit of how you guys see yourself positioned with that history and kind of everything that's happened since 2018.
Well, one of the advantages that we have had is one of our constraint in a number of ways, and that's producing manufacturing products within the USDA organic framework. Because we started small with an organic seal on our products, it really helped focus our product offering and, you know, how we talk about that because of the rigor and structure around manufacturing organic products and marketing those organic products. We kind of learned like really good rules for the road really quick early on based on the guardrails that the organic program set for us. And that kept us out from getting into some trouble that some other hemp brands got themselves into by chasing novel cannabinoids and strange ways of extraction that just would not be up to the standard of the organic program. So, you know, really like the organic program was a great way to keep us focused on delivering a natural product as naturally as we can manufacture it to the consumer in the natural grocery setting where that kind of quality commitment is most well received.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Touching on the organic, I don't think you could have talked better than that. And I mean, just building on what happened in 2018, I think it was kind of just, obviously, I can't speak for Eric and Jim, but it was just kind of a, okay, now there's nothing holding us back. We have these regulations. We have this here. We have guidelines. We have USDA organic guidelines. We have our core values and mission and standards all started with them and really using everything together to build the framework of what you see now as Cornbread Hemp.
Well, and just to paint this picture, Angela, for yourself and for your infra audience, in 2019, when Cornbread was getting started, Andrea was the department manager and buyer at an infra at our local infra store, Rainbow Blossom, here in Louisville. And, you know, Andrea took a risk with us when the market was inundated with CBD products, took us onto the shelf at Rainbow Blossom, and we did really well and grew that relationship. And when it was time for us to have a full-time staff member focused on the natural channel, we just went and poached Andrea from Rainbow Blossom because, like, Rainbow Blossom is a great IFRA partner, remains a great IFRA partner. Shout out to Rainbow Blossom. And Andrea is fantastic. And so, like, we stole her.
Organically, almost, you could say. I love that.
It was perfect. There was somebody on my team ready to move on up and do something bigger, or we might have lost her. And I was super excited for the opportunity. Y'all know I could talk about herbs and wellness for days. And now I really have the opportunity to do that and work with these great guys. So it was a no-brainer when it was time to bring them in. Once we had that, of course, there were hundreds of emails coming in that week, right? But when we could focus in and look at their standards and I would be able to sit at the table and talk to these guys and taste their products, it was a no-brainer to bring them in. And super excited that, yeah, we're actually on NCAP at All Rainbows this month too. So yay.
I mean, I will say, and how, you know, the evolution of this brand all the way up to your current branding proposition, those gorgeous cans. I mean, it is really, you've been a really fun brand to watch grow. Tell me a little bit about that growth though, right? Because you can't operate the same way in every state. Like you are doing the thing that I love to like sum up in one of my favorite phrases, which is you guys have to have a tolerance for complexity. Like, tell me what that's like.
It's wild.
Yeah, done. Yeah.
I mean, tolerance for complexity is a great way to put it. Creative problem solving and tolerance for risk is certainly among them. Like, we can't, I don't know, like, we've been living in the hemp world in uncertainty for 6 years, 7 years, and we still live in that uncertainty, even more so now. It's more acute than ever. And we have to continue to be creative problem solvers to, you know, to get our product to our retail partners and to our customers. Like, it's not great, but the overall environment, but we're much larger of an operation now than we were when we started, but still in the grand scheme of things, we're still a nimble, small business that can adapt and change as we need to. And, yeah, there's some complexity at the state-to-state level, and that causes some pain. It's a shame that we can't serve retailers in every state the way we serve them here in Kentucky. But one day that'll change.
Will you tell me a little bit about your relationship with your growers?
Kentucky, you know, is an embarrassment of riches in terms of great farming partners in the hemp space. Kentucky's really been the cornerstone of the hemp farming movement on the cannabinoid floral hemp farming front. And we've had two farming partners in the history of the company. Our first farming partner retired from farming in his late 80s. And our we've partnered now with a younger farmer from my hometown in Lebanon, Kentucky. Our farming partner and I went to elementary school together at St. Augustine School. So I've known our farmer for, you know, since I was in eighth grade, and he understands the organic process, the organic farming side. And, you know, part of, you know, among the jobs that he has for us, in addition to farming, is because we're organic and because to certify ground as organic, it has to be without pesticides for 3 years. We are leasing land 3 years out to lay it fallow on projections. So it's an extraordinarily complicated process to not just farm organically in the season that we're growing, which is difficult enough, but the planning for 3 years out to make sure that we have organic land to plant in. Even on the other side of this federal uncertainty that we have, we're betting that we're going to resolve that uncertainty. And in order to do that, we have to maintain farmland 3 years out on projections to make sure that it's ready for organic farming in 3 years.
All right. So we're betting against the November implementation. Will you tell me a little bit about what you see in the political climate in terms of how that could change?
Sure. So if nothing changes from now until November 12th, then on November 13th, all hemp products in America will become Schedule I narcotics equal to heroin, and all hemp businesses will lose access to these sorts of basic fundamentals that we've relied on since the 2018 Farm Bill. And so it's up to us in the industry, manufacturers, retailers, and consumers to make sure that members of Congress know that this is important to us. We can't let it go. We can't let it go back to the black market where quality and access are significantly, you know, impacted. So this is, you know, what we're up against. And, you know, combined with a level of congressional dysfunction that we haven't quite seen ever. Like, Congress has always been, you know, off the rails a bit, but this year, this Congress is particularly challenged.
I have so much to say there, but I would love to tell you how carefully I saw you choose your words, and awesome. Can I tell you that I felt that it was harder that it came from a Kentucky representative?
Oh, yeah? That was hard for you?
Well, I just felt like here is an industry so well represented by your state. And I mean, I did a little bit of time in Louisville. I can say Louisville. I'm not like a native, but I definitely had a moment of like, here's this burgeoning industry, and you see it a little bit. I'm in the state of Wisconsin. We have a little bit of industry here as well. But it is very, very challenging to see something that felt like it was so directly anathema to what was a growing industry in your state. And I wanted to say it for you that I felt like it was, that made it doubly hard. Are you guys actively seeing, you're feeling like this voice is getting out there? I see it. I definitely have seen a lot of really interesting, especially from the breweries that were making money by expanding their offerings into the hemp market. I see a lot of them doing things that I would see that feel political. Do you guys have anything like specific you want to highlight? Anything a listener of this podcast could maybe go out and do?
Well, I mean, first of all, shout out to the great state of Wisconsin. Love Wisconsin. One of our challenges politically is not the unpopularity of our products. It's that our products are popular. And because our products are popular, that has created a resentment from stronger, more politically connected competitive industries that have seen the impact of the popularity of our products on their products, and particularly the bourbon manufacturing industry is quite unpleased with the success and popularity of hemp products. And consequently, Senator Mitch McConnell has been convinced by his friends in the bourbon industry to put us out of business. So that is the nature of the kickback in Kentucky is relative to alcohol manufacturing interests. And, you know, in Wisconsin, you've got a corporate beer interests there as well. And that seems like those are all kind of a piece. There's really only six states in America with a large concentration of corporate manufacturing of alcohol, and that's whiskey manufacturing in Kentucky and Tennessee, corporate beer manufacturing in Wisconsin and Missouri, and wine manufacturing in the West Coast, California, Washington, Oregon. So seven states. But, you know, those concentrations of manufacturing interests are really what we're up against in terms of getting policy done by this November 12th deadline. And they remain, you know, strong opponents of us reaching our customers in a legal way.
Absolutely. And I would say just to everyone listening and all the Infra members, what to do is what Infra members do best is they share information, right? So make sure that all of your staff knows what's going on. Make sure that all of your customers know what's going on. Post signs. U.S. Hemp Roundtable is a great resource. They always have or try to have the best, most recent updates on their website. Obviously, y'all can reach out to us. But what to do is just don't stay quiet. Make sure everybody knows people we have to vote for. Make sure they know what we want our vote to be for.
And that MedHemp, thank you, Andrea, for shouting out U.S. Hemp Roundtable. That website is hempsupporter.com. And at Hemp Supporter, you can get calls to action for campaigns that are happening in your state, as well as for federal action. We've seen retailers activate, those, call to actions with QR codes in store. So customers can hit it with their phone and send an email to the member of Congress right there on the spot. And it's a great way to keep folks activated. Like, what can you do? Well, hit this QR code, hit and send an email to your member of Congress. You can do it right there in the store.
Love that. You know, Infra retailers are also dealing with declining alcohol sales, any of them that are choosing to sell alcohol. And whereas I understand the industry competition, and very nice there, Jim, like knowing thy enemy, like that nice like six state breakdown. I think that there are enough other health factors in the market that have seen the decline of alcohol consumption. It's interesting to pit it together like that. And I totally understand that framing. But I also think, I see posts on LinkedIn that say things like this massive liquor distributor has just had to cut jobs, like hope that industry comes back. And I kind of think to myself, like, do we? I mean, just from an overall health perspective, right? I think we all learned a lot at home during 2020, maybe imbibing a little too much on that level, but definitely a conversation for another time.
That's one of my theories is that one of the reasons why young adults aren't drinking so much now is that they saw their parents overconsume during COVID and they're like, nope, not me.
That's got to be a piece of it. You know, I worked for a retailer in the great state of Oregon, though, when we legalized marijuana. And the first thing that happened was a decline in beer sales. And so I think there was a part of us that was like, well, everybody's got a vice budget and, it's this big. But I also there have to be some additional factors. It'll be an interesting thing to see however that goes, because we're talking about two industries that both serve a really interesting larger purpose. But I think that the proposition for THC and CBD is more grounded in health. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to take this whole thing over with the endocannabinoid system, but yes, your body has a system ready for this beautiful plant that wants this beautiful plant. You can't say that about alcohol, friends. You also aren't going to worry about the kind of sugars and brain fog and hangover and all kinds of things that you would have with alcohol. Women, as we age, our bodies change. Alcohol doesn't quite work the same. So there are all kinds of health reasons if you're just focused on that. But not to mention the fact that you can look for a really good, clean product, something like our seltzers that has all natural flavors, all natural ingredients. We don't have anything weird or scary in there. There's a QR code to take you to testing and prove this is a beautiful, clean product. Do you have that on your other drinks on the shelf? No, you don't. So I think there's absolutely a health factor to it. It's trendy. It's financially what we see going on, but it's also health for sure.
Well, not to mention the fact that we just opened the door on a Medicare pilot program for cannabinoid products. We're not, like, in no world will Medicare ever reimburse a doctor for alcohol to their patients. But now we've got a pilot program with Medicare to provide full spectrum CBD products with up to 3 milligrams of THC per serving to qualified Medicare beneficiaries. And this is an extraordinary, you know, new day in how the federal government looks at cannabinoid products, and Cornbread is, you know, leading that charge with access to a group purchasing organization that serves the hospital groups that will be part of this Medicare program. Just really speaks to the health benefits, the fact that, like, those health benefits are being recognized by the government for the first time in a meaningful way. And it just, you know, gives us hope that we're going to get to the right place and, you know, in time for this November deadline, because the Medicare pilot program will also collapse if we can't fix it in Congress. So, you know, it's much less marginalized, much less, you know, misunderstood now that a stakeholder like Medicare has weighed in to say, like, this is going to be a part of our cost saving measures going forward, is to grant access to patients to cannabinoid products. It's really a big deal. It speaks directly to Infra and Infra's mission and the fact that finally we're getting some traction.
Andrea, you touched on something I want to go back to, because I think it talks a little bit more about just, like, CBD and Cornbread have been the supplement space. You guys are incredibly clear about your ingredient deck. You guys have that tab on your website. Shout out the Learn tab, but also shout out the Lab Report tab and the QR code. Love that. I mean, the transparency that you guys have around your ingredients in an industry where we have quite a few supplements that cannot say the same is absolutely incredible. And I do, as you highlighted the seltzer, yes, thank you for making something so clean and beautiful, but also clean.
Absolutely. So excited and so grateful to have these wonderful products to share with people for a full spectrum of wellness, right? It's relief, it's relaxation, it's being social, it's being able to unwind and unplug. It is everything. That's what we need for true well-being. And that's what one of the many things I love about this company and what we do is that we really are looking at how can we improve quality of life? How can we help people find their version of the good life? And it's going to look different. We're going to need things on different days, things on different months, but you always want something clean. You always want something trustworthy. You always want something reliable when it comes to how you feel during and after your experience. And that's where a beautiful plant like this, obviously there isn't one plant, one product that's right for everybody all the time, but I think this is one that is beautiful for people to explore and see how they feel throughout the day with different things.
So we have a lot of members that ask us how they can keep on top of TikTok wellness trends so that they can always have the right thing. And, you know, however you feel about those random rice flour for your hair kind of trends that come and go, the one thing that it's a very informal survey of my children, ask them what's going on TikTok. I feel like they have already been inundated with a lot about inflammation and how inflammation is this key health marker, which on some level I'm like, okay, would you do me a favor and give me a little bit of verbiage that our member stores can use to talk about why your line is perfect for the consumer coming in to talk about their inflammation?
Yeah, absolutely. I can start that a little bit. And then, of course, Jim, add in if you like. So first, we don't treat, diagnose, prescribe, nor cure. Obviously, we don't make any claims. We want to make sure when we're talking to customers that it's more asking questions. So trying to get to the root of what they want. What is their main concern? What do they not want? So kind of going through the line of, okay, well, what's going to work best for you is what you're going to take consistently. We'll start number there. So if you're not going to take an oil consistently, as beautiful, as clean as she is, that may not be the best product for you, even though she looks great on your counter. Gummies, however, are delicious. Who doesn't want to stop for a wellness treat a couple times throughout the day? That's where the gummies are really easy to get consistency. So a lot of customers will go right to gummies right ahead. And that's great. No problems there. But the first thing is asking them what their questions are and then making sure they know that consistency is key. Like with any other wellness or lifestyle practice, whether it's your multis, your omega, your mindful movement, you need to be consistent in your practice. Same thing with this supplementation. If we are working with our endocannabinoid system and we're taking these beautiful products to help us reduce things like inflammation and help us increase things like relaxation and well-being, then you want to make sure that you're going to be consistent with it.
Beautiful. All right, my friends, I am an unequivocal fangirl, like love everything you guys do, feel really passionately about organic, love the Kentucky roots, have already complimented your branding, think your website is amazing.
Which tabs are your favorite?
I mean, I really love Learn. You guys, sincerely, 9 pages of very clear. I'm always telling people, like, make more bullet points. Like, it's so clear. It's so great. I can't tell you how much I love it enough. I appreciated you guys giving me a little bit of a rundown about where we are politically. I want you to know that all of us at Infra are sincerely rooting for you. Love that you gave some of our members ways that they could be involved. As we wrap this episode up, is there anything at all that we did not talk about that you want to make sure we get in here?
Yeah, we had two big things coming your way. Andrew, you want to jump in?
Oh my God, I was so excited for these, y'all. So obviously we love all of our cannabis products and we're going to keep supporting the cannabis industry and keep growing and really fighting for November. But we also know that there isn't one plant that's right for everybody all the time. We know that there are some folks that have to worry about things like testing, be it our teachers, our first responders, our military folks, that even though our beautiful products are what they are, they still aren't right for those people. And they deserve ways to relax, be social, focus, and sleep well. And so we have two new launches. Super excited, y'all. The first one is hitting shelves now, of course, already at Rainbow Blossom. These are our organic mushroom gummies, clinically studied mushrooms. We have clinically studied ashwagandha and the relax. So we have a focus, a relax, a sleep. Beautiful. They are organic, clinically studied ingredients, vegan, gluten-free, all the good things you expect from cornbread. And we have QR codes on these. No, they're not necessary for mushrooms, but yes, we want customers to have information. So we have that all on these gummies to fit you throughout your days, perfectly stackable. Yes, I take the relax and the focus at the same time some days. Love those. That's just me. Obviously, don't treat, diagnose, prescribe, nor cure, but I do and I love them. So those are already on shelves. Super excited. And then launching this week, next week. So excited. Can't wait to see them. USDA Organic Spritz. So we have 4 flavors of spritz. We are going to be margarita, blue lemonade, mimosa, and cherry lime. These are absolutely delicious. They are USDA Organic. They are hemp-free and, of course, alcohol-free. Instead, we have organic passion flower, organic lemon balm, and L-theanine. Oh my goodness, so excited. I love all the things we make, but this is the one that I'm like on the edge of my seat. When can I buy this? It's going to be the prettiest thing in your fridge, like all of our other stuff. Oh, I just can't wait for everybody to try them. And to be organic, right? Like, of course it is.
Oh my gosh, you guys, and L-theanine is continually so hot. I was just looking at sales of L-theanine products, like, nice. And I don't need to tell you how popular mushrooms are. This is amazing. Thank you so much for like highlighting that. Really excited about that launch. Know that I could definitely have you back on the podcast at some point in the next, let's give it 3 to 6 months, see what sales are doing. Talk to me a little bit about what your catalog looks after the end of those launches. Yes. Congratulations.
Yeah, so excited. We're seeing everything just spins now. So they'll have all the pictures and they'll start collecting the data. So yeah, that'd be perfect time for us to do a little review.
And that corresponds with us having meaningful updates on the federal policy front on hemp too. So we will circle back in 6 months. We will have a hemp policy update powwow and then talk about how great our non-hemp products are doing in the market.
I'm here for it. It's on record. So you now are forced to come back and talk to me again. Love this. All right. Well, both of you, I cannot thank you enough for your time today. Again, cornbreadhemp.com has a lot of amazing tabs, but also new product launches, the ability to shop, and an ability to look at what an amazing company you guys have grown. Thank you so much for everything you do. See you next time.
Thanks, Angela.
Thank you so much.
As we wrap up this episode of The Buyer's Desk, we'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the incredible Infra staff contributors, dedicated independent retailers, and visionary natural food brands and business partners that made this episode possible. Stay tuned for more inspiring insights and stories in the world of natural food retail. Until next time, thank you for your support. Angela Bozo, co-host and administrator.
Kim Rout, executive producer and segment contributor.
Jim Olson, Spin's segment manager.
Austin Hinkle, audio engineer.
Sarah Super, wellness strategist.
Madeline Ware, marketing writer, editor, and digital manager.
Haley Craig, audio engineer and segment contributor.
Raina Kittredge, segment contributor.
Bella Sislo, outreach manager and segment contributor.